M48.
Number 2B.
You know how it is. It's all right how it is. One should never be sorry about things that happened. But at one time we felt, oh, life, truth, and love. These are the synonymous terms, you know. Oh yes, mind, spirit, soul, that's all right. But life, truth, and love, you know. And you know from me how I was always talking for the last 2 or 3 years always about life, truth, and love. And they are the accentuation of a higher plane. And then suddenly one begins to realize, but the other ones are wonderful too. Mind, spirit, soul, in its own right. In its own right. And naturally, as we have seen, everything is always going up or going down. See? I think I was just lately into that phase of coming down. From life, truth, and love to mind, spirit, soul. Because the whole of cybernetics is really based on mind, spirit, soul as its great fundamental facts. And I wouldn't be surprised if we would find the new terminology for mind, spirit, soul, which the world doesn't like and which doesn't understand, especially not in the non-English languages. None of our languages on the continent, neither Dutch, nor Swedish, nor German, nor French, nor has a proper translation for the term mind. We just don't have it. Nothing that comes near to it. Nothing that comes near to it. If we take our word, Gemüt, nobody knows what we are talking. They just say, oh, that's a funny lot. We just haven't. And as far as I know, they don't have it in the Swedish, nor have them in the Dutch, have they? In the French, it's awful. Entendement. You know? Well, the term spirit has a taste for the young people and for the scientist spirit, you know, that has something to do with the Holy Spirit and so on. Has a religious touch. Soul has to do with psychology and so on. Yes, each one has a soul, but where is the soul and so on? But cybernetics introduces terms which perhaps may supersede those terms, or may at least help us to speak in an understandable way about mind, spirit, soul. Instead of mind, they say it's information. But not information the way we talk about information. If I say to somebody, look here, I know something, I'll tell it to you. It has, in cybernetics, a completely different meaning than just saying something to somebody else and bringing him the good or bad news. But the information, which I want later on to enlarge on it, is that which shows that there is an intelligence working which communicates itself so that it is independent of a thinking person and independent of a material machine. Can you feel what happens? That cybernetics tells us for the very first time that a thinking person is not interesting for a cybernetics system, and that matter is not interesting for a cybernetics system, but a third thing which nobody has ever dreamt of that would exist, namely information. Information and the communication of information. The language of information. Have we ever thought that there is information without speaking? We think all the information is by speaking and by writing. Well, that's not information. Think of that governor in that boiler, that steam engine with the governor. That governor talks constantly, has constant exchange of information, has constant communication of information, though not a single person is there, and though that machine has no brain and no mouth to talk. And yet, there is constant information going on there, which says, now the pressure is just going a bit too high. Open it. Afterwards, that governor says, all right, I let now the way down, the pressure goes down, I can recede, And so it informs to go down, and it eats again to a certain extent. And so they talk to each other, that machine talks to itself as information, without there is a human brain, and without that matter as intelligence. In other words, cybernetics brought to the fore that the whole old classic logic of thinking that there can only be two things, namely a subject and an object, thinking and matter, that is not true. That there is in being a higher element than those two, namely information. And that information actually is only the only thing that is of importance, and that the rest is of no importance. It is an it intelligence. It is not the intelligence of a human brain, and it is not the intelligence in matter. It's an it which is above object and subject as a thinking, informing, communicating, knowing instance. It, an it. And it comes therefore very, very near to the thought that mind, the divine mind, is really the only true communication, the only true information, and the only true intelligence that there is, independent of human thought, independent of matter. Isn't that quite extraordinary what cybernetics has brought out? Cybernetics has not invented information. It has only become aware that information has always existed and that we were not aware of it. Just as we would say in science that we were always thinking, I can think, and what I think about is an object, so I have a subjective thinking and an object, and that's all. And now, suddenly, we are forced to see that there is a higher it, which is intelligent, and which is constantly at work as communicating, as influence, as bringing messages, as talking, as informing, as leading, guiding, organizing, and so on. So, information is that which exists without human thinking and without matter. So the old question of classical logic between object and subject becomes irrelevant, because it is superformed into mind, divine mind. The new term for spirit, I think, which they have, and which you begin to read practically in every second article which is talking about any new discovery, is a term called negative entropy or anti-entropy. In German we have a new term, we call it ectropy. Extropy, X is going out, going away from, just as exit is going out from where you are staying. X is a prefix saying going outward. Entropy is a term which is used in thermodynamics. The second law of thermodynamics is one of the most fundamental laws of physics, of dead matter. And the second law of thermodynamics is the law of reaching the maximum of entropy, namely of reaching a state of complete deadness, so to say. It's entropy really is saying this, the second law of thermodynamics, that the whole material universe runs down because it exchanges energy, it exchanges temperature constantly, so that it is that constantly there is a leavening out, so that there are less and less differences in exchange of energy, no more differences in exchange of chemical processes, no more exchange in the differences of temperature, until you come finally to the point of complete equilibrium of energy, chemical reaction, heat, etc. It is what we call in German the Wärmetod, and they have translated it into the English as the heat death, where everything comes to a standstill. That's the maximum of entropy. And the whole material universe in which we live runs on that second law of thermodynamics. Everything that is being constructed in the mechanical, material universe must count with this law of entropy. So entropy is a leavening out of differences, of diversification, until there is no more differentiation. In a state of thought where there is no more differentiation, there can be no order. But order is heaven's first law. Now, the point is that first they began to see that organic matter, that matter which has already a higher sense than dead matter, namely that organic matter which has the belief of life in matter, that in the organic field we see that there must be a force at work which counteracts entropy. Because in the organic field you see the very opposite happen, namely that there is a constant evolution, a constant diversification, rarefication, a higher classification, a higher individualization of everything, out from the very beginning of the smallest little molecule. We have that whole world of plants and trees and birds and fishes and animals and men, which shows that apparently there is a second law at work, namely the law of evolution, which has the very opposite of the law of entropy. And therefore they call that very other direction, which brings more and more order, which brings more and more differentiation into existence, that therefore it is a law of anti-entropy or negative entropy. You also call it negative entropy. In German, perhaps later on in English, I don't always read everything in English, perhaps you have taken over that term, extropy. Because tropy means to bend inward. Extropy is to stand out. Evolution goes and stands out. Now, cybernetics goes even a step further, out of the belief of life in matter. Because as I have shown you, information is neither matter nor mind, small m, nor thinking. It's an it that is far above it. It's the divine mind. And the whole science of cybernetics, or the whole working of cybernetics, is based on feeding in informations. The more information you feed in, the more order you get, the more understanding we get. Therefore, they begin to see that cybernetics is really based on extropy. The more information you give, the more order you have. In other words, they begin to realize that there does not exist a chaos. Is that pronunciation right? Chaos. That there is no chaos in being. All there is order which has not been understood, because we don't have the information necessary to see it as order. So chaos is an order which we have not been able to read, not been able to interpret, because we didn't have enough information of that state of things. So the more information you have, the more order you have, the less chaos you have. Well, isn't that what spirit, as a synonymous term, was teaching us? That spirit is order, that spirit is unfoldment, and not entropy, going backward, inward, that it is going forward, unfoldment, development. So they begin to realize that. And now, they have a third principle, namely the principle of identity, the identity principle, which sees that all the informations which are put into any cybernetic model is being reproduced in an identical way, but overformed in such a way that it has a different appearance. But, just as we have seen, whatever has been overformed has another form, and yet it has an identical form lying on the back of it, which really, again, shows that therefore we can no more separate object and subject. We have that definition of Schelling, who said identity is that, is reality at the deepest level, where object and subject are one. Where object and subject are one. Where therefore we can realize that whatever happens, there are always identical models of whatever happens. That's the point where I started with our point of Christian Science, as mind, spirit, soul. Because I said in Absolute Christian Science the following thing, there we went off. We said that in Absolute Christian Science there is just that truth and love going on. And that it is only a matter of our changing our consciousness to accept that the only facts that are the facts of being in its completeness. Why on earth should I have a sense of that? Because of the law of identity, the principle of identity. Whatever happens in being has its identical analogy within us. There is no possibility that something which exists in reality could not be caught by us. Let me put it this way. If you hear music, well, what is it? Music is just vibrations. If those vibrations are according to law, we say it's harmony. Why do we say it's harmony? Why does the other one say, no, there was a fault in it. It's not harmony. It's discord. Why can the one say that when the same wavelength comes to each one? Because there is an identity principle everywhere, but always in another form, which corresponds to it. Musical hearing has certainly nothing to do with wavelengths, and yet it's identical. My cultured or my uncultured musical sense is completely identical with wavelength. That's an illustration of the principle of identity. That something which has a complete different outward form, like vibrations in the air, and a musical aesthetical sensation, can be identical. So an aesthetical sense has nothing to do with vibrations, and yet there is. That's why we say, oh, that's harmony, that's disharmony. Only because there is that sense that object and subject at the deepest level of reality are the one and the same thing. There is no diverse. Not even in the material universe there is a diverse. The material universe is not something outside of the spiritual universe. We can see that it is a mistune, a discord of the spiritual universe. But there is identity. So, can you see why, therefore, in Christian Science, those three, mind, spirit, soul, those three, have I the right information? If I have the right information, that gives order into every situation, that brings order into every situation, into everything which is unclear, chaotic, intertwined, and so on, I can see order in it. Why can I see order in it? Because object and subject are one. Because the principle of identity tells it to me. Not because I have learned it. And on this basis, I want to go on tomorrow and show you the question of how do I know how to apply the chart? How do I know which part of the chart should I use? Should I practice? Should I apply in this or that situation? That question which comes up so often, you see, which says, now, that's all right, that chart, but what has that to do with practical life? How shall I use it? Do you think that if I'm in trouble, I first go to the chart and then say, oh, what is now here on the top, and then what is below, and then afterwards say, now, which part of it should I have taken? See? And I want to show you how this is being resolved on a quite new basis. The moment we have seen what this chart is, as that law of being on the top, then on the plane of divine science, the law of self-operation, and on the plane of absolute Christian science, the law of self-functioning, and then on the plane of Christian science, the law of creative production, where things begin to come into existence because mind, spirit, and soul just make a clear, fine view, clear up everything and enlighten everything through information. That information, just as the extropy bring order into everything, understanding, extropy is really nothing else but understanding, you see, and seeing that we can have that understanding because of the principle of identity that exists without that we know it. All right, tomorrow at 9:30.